afraid. Shouldn't be.
I'm gonna make a backup audio just in case.
Yeah, do for that. So will I.
So we'll have three backups, so we're good.
All right. And it's also so. Are right, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Don't be afraid. Welcome to Words Per Minute. This is the inaugural episode. This is everything, all things about court reporting. I'm with my co-host, Christopher Day. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. We'll get into our whole situation. And my name is... I can't name it because I currently work for a service that supplies depositions. And hopefully, maybe one day I could reveal who I am. But today, I am... That's how we're doing it today. Sound good?
We call them big boxes. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, I'll just be an unnamed reporter that can talk about whenever I can. So, let's just talk about how we combine forces. I met Christopher on the internet. He runs the website. Go ahead. You could say what it is.
Synonymous.com.
Synonymous.com. And I was thinking about, you know, the more that I started learning about court reporting, I started realizing that I don't know anything. So I decided to reach out to you, and you weren't sure where my intentions were at the same time. Not that I was being evil or anything. It was just
I was pretty open.
Yeah, you were. And you were trying to feel people out. So that's where we were. So I'm interested to hear what your story is. But I also thought, as we have gotten to know each other, I realized that I think you would be more potent because now, you know, the long form of writing is not getting the influence that it once was. And I think video and podcasts are something that is moving the needle, and maybe you'll be able to get your point across. So I think for me personally, and maybe probably for you, is to just get more exposure and just try to see if we can get more prominence in this business that both you and I love, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, I've made the longhand writing work as much as it's going to work, and I'm eager to see what this is like in a podcast format.
Yeah, very excited to speak to you. So I just wanted to talk about how you got into this whole racket. I mean, this is not something that somebody wakes up and says, you know what, I want to be in the courtroom in a murder trial, and I want to be the one that writes all of the words word for word. It's kind of something that you stumble in by accident. And I think through my trials and tribulations and just my journey to the road to success, I've realized that a lot of people have said, you know, their parents were in it. Somebody else in my family was in the court. And they kind of stumbled upon it after, you know, doing a myriad of different things. How did you get your start in court reporting?
So I was this super introverted high school kid, and I saw it in a high school fair, and I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. You know, I knew I wasn't coordinated enough to do like food service and stuff like that. So I came up on senior year, and people were like, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? I'm like, I don't know, court reporting school. I saw it in a high school fair. So I set up with this school, and I took to it almost immediately. I really practiced hard. There's three forms of court reporting. There's stenography, there's voice writing, and there's digital court reporting. And so I took the stenographic route, and at that point in history, that was really the main route. So, and that's it. I mean, I got hooked up with it was called New York Career Institute at the time, and they later sold themselves to Plaza College in Queens, and the rest is history.
Yeah, very, very interesting. So just to piggyback of what you're saying, you're into the stenography part. I still have the ability to advance to that, but I've also thought about my moment in time of the digital reporting thing, of trying to master that aspect of it. What I do like about it, as opposed to what you're doing, is that you're kind of in the courthouse day to day when things are happening. And, you know, that's a great place to be. I know my other line of work, I'm able to, you know, be out and about and see all the people and kind of get those network is able to be part of the community. The digital part is interesting because you're not necessarily meeting the people that's giving you feedback. There's not necessarily people giving you the right way of doing things. You just kind of learn, and then you go, oh yeah, okay, you get the feedback later on in an email. So it's a lot more informal. And it's kind of like learn as you go. But yeah. I'll tell you, just for me, somebody saw me type and they were like, wow, you should be a stenographer. And I've always seen it from just watching TV or TV shows of people that are being stenographers. And you could see that, okay, they could type very fast. And I always saw that they weren't using a normal like laptop or a computer. They were using some sort of weird machine. I would imagine that's a steno machine, right?
Yeah, we call it a steno machine. I think you can call it a stenotype. Some people call it a stenograph, but that's technically a company name. So, steno machine.
Right. So, going back to my situation, after somebody saw that, I got a hold of an ad saying that if you're really good at just being professional, just being able to type quickly, there's going to go a couple of steps and then you could be a digital court reporter. Now, little did I know the world that I was going to join in, because I didn't know, where we fit in. I guess the tension that you have between people that are in the conventional world. And that's why I was able to, really get a bond with you, because you taught me a lot of just the differences. I had no idea. And I often think that seldomly somebody, a stenographer like you and a digital reporter like me, don't necessarily communicate. So I don't know what's going on in your world. And you probably don't know what's really going on in my world, even though you do extensive research on Synonymous. But we're going to get to know a lot of different things that have been going on. So we're going to find out what really it entails. And, I really think that we will be able to shine light to a lot of things that are happening in the court reporting industry, as well as trying to influence maybe people to get, more of a traction of people wanting to do this. But, after you found your footing and you went to school, just talk about the steps of like what it's like to get to where you're at, which is, a courthouse. How do you get to that?
So for me personally, I graduate school and we graduate at 225 words a minute. And at that point, you're kind of, I would say it's kind of like you're saying, there's less guidance. You don't really know exactly how things are going to go. And you hook up with one of these court reporting agencies, and they generally hire you as an independent contractor. Side note, I've done some workers' rights research, and we may not actually be independent contractors, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah, we'll get into that. That's another entirely
we'll get into that.
Yep.
But anyway, so I'm taking depositions, probably just like you. Well, I think you do a lot more remote than I got to do. At the point I did it was more 2010 to 2014. And the depositions at that point in time were basically all in person, you know? So it was a lot of running around the city. They used to hold depositions in the Bronx courthouse. So I went into the, you would laugh at it actually. It was this big wide room with just, I want to say like 9 tables set up or maybe 6 tables set up, and everybody's just having a different deposition at each different table. So it was, it was kind of chaotic like that. It was kind of like Wild West. You have no idea what you're walking into. The attorneys, might be combative with each other, or they might be the nicest people in the world. And it was just this mixed bag, and kind of learning the ropes the hard way. And then at some point, a friend of mine said, you should go do grand jury in Manhattan. They're hiring. And grand jury is you're working for the district attorney as a grand jury court reporter. And as of now, the ones in New York City only take stenographers. I think by law, I think they have to use stenographers. And basically, I do grand jury for a little bit. I leave that line of work. And then the next thing I know, I'm back in this freelance world. And I wasn't really enjoying it at that point. It wasn't paying me enough. Mm. And they had the civil service test to become a court reporter for the courts. So I said, all right, I'll go take that. Sit for that test. I placed 14th in the state for that test.
Wow.
And the rest, like I said, is history. I started up with the Brooklyn Criminal Court. And, at this point, I've seen every, most of the spots of our criminal justice system. I've seen the grand jury where felonies get indicted. I've seen Brooklyn Criminal Court, which is all misdemeanors and stuff. And now I'm in Supreme Court, which is all felonies and felony trials. So I've lived quite a life and gotten to see a lot that through this job.
That's amazing. That sounds like a whole myriad of different experiences.
Yeah.
Does it take an emotional toll when you're, I think when you're in the room with people that, their lives are at the fate of a jury and a judge, and you're just there typing away verbatim of what's happening. I suppose you can't help but get swept up into, people's situations and just how crazy it is that you're just there. You're a fly on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, so there's different schools of thought, and there's people who in our field who are just like, no, don't even think about it, just do your job. And I respect that view, but I really do take it seriously. And I think about, even the tiniest little transcript can end up in, New York State's highest court, the Court of Appeals, and it can change the law. And so you really have to kind of think about, not only is this someone's life, but this may go on to impact other people's lives. So you'd better get it right. Because, and that's the wonderful thing about the job is we don't have to make those hard decisions. We don't have to make those calls. So we're kind of removed from the feeling of, being the person who's putting this person in this situation. Although there's also an argument to be had. And some people feel this way, they put themselves in that situation. I don't really, I think it's a case by case basis, and we just have to trust the system to kind of work it out. But I do think about the impact that our work has on people, and I think it's pretty important.
Yeah, it's got to be. I just know for me, I do it in the state of New York.
Yeah.
And, sometimes I'll get somebody that is like a big wig in the department of whatever it is. And I'm just like, I can't believe this is happening. And I'm here. You just have that sense of it's one of those things where you are the fly on the wall, but you are involved, but you're not involved. So I completely understand the nature of it in which you are saying, but I feel like I haven't gotten emotionally involved, but how could you not get swept away about what's happening? Because sometimes this is like irreparable damage. I know for me, recently, September 1st, 2022 has been a big bone of contention, that specific date. It was the same day when there was a lot of flooding in New York State and it was Hurricane Ida. So I constantly hear about somebody lost a piece of their backyard and now they're suing, the town that they live in because they try to put an insurance claim. And they weren't able to do that. But, in this particular situation, it was like somebody that just moved in. They were thinking about, how much millions of dollars that they spent. And now they're being affected because they kind of bought something that's a money pit and they didn't think of it. And it was only because of a natural disaster. So I'm interested too, because you hear about the emotional stories, but then you're pitted with the legal interpretation of what you should do to adjudicate it.
Yeah.
And, I think also people. Sometimes you see people that have been, 30 depositions in, where they're a supervisor in a specific part. Maybe they're in the town of public works and they're used to having depositions. Then you got somebody that might be on their bed. They've never been on a deposition before and they're just acting completely unprofessional. So, one thing I
Yeah.
do like about the job is the uniqueness of every day, meaning two different lawyers, different witness.
Yeah,
So
you
you
don't know
never
what
know
you're
what's going
walking
to happen.
into.
It makes it much more interesting than just having a 9-to-5 job. Do you find that the same way? Even though you probably are in a trial that's probably going to be a couple of days, couple of weeks, couple of months long.
Well, back when I freelanced, that's exactly how I felt. I liked the feeling of having a new thing every day. Never knew what I was going to learn that day. Sometimes you're listening to someone talk about, pharmaceutical coding of the pills, and then sometimes you're listening to, one man was an electrician who got horribly burned and he was looking for compensation for that. So it really ran the gamut of things that you could hear about and learn about. And that was what made my twist into the criminal court reporting that much more interesting, because criminal, I have to say, is a lot more formulaic, especially the procedural stuff leading up to a trial. It's very similar. It's always like there's an arraignment, and then they do some motions, and for the most part, we're not involved with the motions unless they have a problem, and then they bring it back to the court and put that on the record. and they'll go back and forth a little bit, and then they'll go to trial. And the trial, like you're saying, is kind of where the magic happens, where, you could hear anything. There was one summation by a prosecutor I had, and she said something like, "To believe the defendant's story, you'd have to believe that magical space unicorns came down and stabbed the victim,
Oh
not the
boy.
victim, the complainant." And I, you're sitting in a courtroom. You never thought you would hear magical space unicorns, but there I was, and I had to type it up. So,
Well, you haven't seen My Cousin Vinny. That's probably why. You know, you said that type of talk from a prosecutor.
I actually saw that movie, and I was very impressed by it. It's very, it does it in an entertaining way and in a way
Yes.
that's funny, but it brings out a lot of legal principles, and it just does it so masterfully. So.
Yeah.
Anybody that hasn't seen that movie should.
I agree. Now, since you're at a very high profile courthouse, obviously everyone knows the New York State Supreme Court. You probably get a lot of high profile court cases. I'm not asking you to talk about specifics of a specific case, but I am asking you of the high profile nature and being involved with that. That's got to be very tough to see because I'm assuming that some people in your personal life kind of ask you about the case, and obviously you have to be mum about it. But do you like being in that celebrity status type of thing that you know it's getting coverage from a lot of news outlets and a lot of eyes are on it nationwide?
It's really interesting because the high profile stuff I generally don't get assigned to, but I definitely, I know my image has made it on the news before just from being in the courtroom. So I do kind of like that stuff. I think it's really cool. I think that I wish that the news would cover more of the criminal justice system because I think that there's a lot that goes on that every citizen should know about and hear about and just be educated about because there's a lot that people don't know, and there's a lot I didn't know till I made it into the system.
I also think it's often misinterpreted only because you might see it in one way, and if you're not really in tune with some legal jargon, you can kind of get caught up to what's really happening. So, for instance, if there's like a summary judgment of X amount of dollars, you don't know what the implications are. You know, some people could just say, "Okay, well, he's getting sued for 50. There's a summary judgment of $50 million on this, he's not gonna pay." Like, that's just what we're gonna boil it down to. But you don't know what the legal ramifications are until you really get into it. But
Yeah.
it's I have a personal question that I have for you. I'm
Sure.
thinking about, doing this remote. I always got to go to the bathroom. What happens when you got to go to the bathroom and you typing away and people that just you just don't go, you just don't drink?
Generally, try not to drink before you gotta go into the courtroom. If you're having an emergency, then you gotta speak up.
Oof.
That's really all you can do.
So you've had to go, "Excuse me, I need a 3 minute break. I know. But meanwhile, I'm certain that once the first person speaks up, they're like, "Yeah, I gotta go too."
Oh yeah. No, and I've had lawyers back in the deposition days, and I think even in the courtroom occasionally kind of like blame us and be like, "Oh, the court reporter needs a break." And meanwhile, I didn't ask for a break, but they need the break. So they're
Yeah.
like, "Yeah." So sometimes it happens that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens where I'll have to speak up. A lot of times in court, depending on how the day is going, they'll either have natural breaks or they will be calling cases one after the other. And so what you'll do is you'll give someone a heads up, either the judge or the clerk, like, "Hey, in between one of these cases, I gotta, I need to use the restroom," or I,
Right.
whatever it is. And you gotta, that's one thing that, as like I said, I was a real introverted kid. I had to learn to kind of just be upfront about my needs because you can very easily get in a situation where they'll just keep going no matter what your
No,
needs are.
I see that. I'm just like, wow, nobody drank water today. I don't get it. Everyone is like Iron Man, and it's always
Yeah.
more like the onus is on you. You don't want to be the first. You also don't want to be the first person to break in it. Like, you don't want to go, "Excuse me, I gotta." You want to be strong and say like, "All right, let somebody else do." So that's interesting because I think you just convinced me I'm going to be remote forever. I don't know about all that. I got to go to the bathroom.
If you can get remote, I would say do remote. So I actually have a question for you. At this point, are you doing 100% remote? Because I'm sure I have people listening that want to know.
Yeah, listen, I think that the money isn't as good as what you're doing and what people are doing in the court. But I'm thinking about, let's say if I got into this racket before the pandemic, and obviously the pandemic is what really opened up the floodgates for this to happen, which you have documented chronically on your website. I'll say that if this wasn't remote, I don't know if this would ever be on my radar, right? So like once you get used to like working remote, very difficult to get back once you're used to it. Now, at the same time, I have a very plush office situation. Not only do I have a plush office situation, I have a plush studio podcast office situation in another location that's 30 yards away. So for me,
wow,
I don't know if it pays because I'm very comfortable here. I got my family here, got my all my equipment here. Obviously, you could see my Zoom is just as professional. So for me, I don't know if it's worth driving to Brooklyn from where I live, which is probably an hour away if we take into account with traffic. And I think about all of the no-shows that happen for me where I could be in the courtroom, try to get there by 9:30 and there's a no-show. That's a waste of a day. So I think that the decrease in pay for me is worth it because I don't have to go to Brooklyn, right? I don't have to figure out buying food somewhere along the way and then coming back. I think for me, it's justified. And I would rather take the pay cut with the comfortableness that it affords me. And I also like the fact that you can do this remote and it still be a worthwhile job. It's something that I have personal pride in wanting to get better at. And I feel like I'm steadily getting better. There's something to be said of being out in the field independently and trying to figure it out on your own with no guidance, right? So for me, it's a puzzle. Now, it remains to be seen. I'm the type of person that tries to reassess my goals every 6 months. So I'm never going to say never, right?
That
because I do think what's cool is what you're doing. Maybe if they had a toilet underneath, you know, the desk, maybe that would work for me. But, you know, right now, I'm going to be remote. But I'm enjoying it. And, you know, I think I've said this since I've met you and we've been talking for 3 or 4 months. I've always said I've enjoyed it, right? There hasn't been one time where I'm like, I don't enjoy it.
Definitely. I think you've told me that sometimes they kind of come out of left field with criticisms, but I think I told you something like sometimes they criticize just to keep you guessing about how valuable you really are. And that's kind of the shady side of it, where it's like you can make money and you can do, you know, really well and you can find something that fits your lifestyle. But at the same time, they're always, you know, they're interested in trying to get people to work for less. So it's kind of that balancing act of.
Right. Right. I don't know what the stats are, but I would imagine that they're, and you've had it chronicled on your website, the shortages of just court reporting in the industry of it not being exposed. And that's one of the, I think the things that we're united of starting this podcast to just raise awareness that it's a very fulfilling, you know, occupation if you decide to do it. But I would imagine that the amount of lawyers versus the amount of people that are court reporters is there's such a huge disparity on top of judges, on top of anybody that's a court officer. I think that, you know, it's one of those things where like kind of like a referee, right? Like nobody really wants the referee. So there's kind of like a balance where it says like there's a shortage and they still try to treat you as if it's prestigious, but it can't be prestigious and there's a shortage at the same time. That's where I find solace in knowing that, you know, regardless of what I do, I'm going to be professional. I'm going to do the best I can no matter what. But at the end of the day, I just know the court industry as a whole still needs us more than we need them. You know what I'm saying? So that I don't feel necessarily scared of in terms of like them keeping me on my toes. Right. So what I did want to ask you too, though, is just the genesis of Stenonymous.com. How you came to that conclusion, because there must have been something that guided you to say, you know what, I'm going to make a whole website. I'm going to make a whole, I want to raise awareness in this specific niche. It's, you know, it's, I just find it interesting that you got to that level and it's matured over the years where there's a lot of people that are watching it and, you know, they really want to get inside your brain. How did you start it and how did it develop over time?
So I started just from remembering all the difficult times that I had and kind of like you're saying, I had to learn on the job. What does this mean? What am I supposed to do when XYZ happens? You know, I can't think of an exact example at the moment, but it's kind of like you're saying, it comes at you fast and you kind of learn as you go with minimal feedback. And basically, I started by typing out all the things that I had had difficulty with and all the things that young court reporters were coming on our message boards and asking questions and asking the same questions again and again and again, year after year after year. And so I started to build popularity that way. And at some point, I started to also document current events, things going on in our field, things our associations were doing, trying to get people to be more involved in the professional community so that we, you know, we can't be taken advantage of the way I felt I was taken advantage of as a young reporter, because basically I've done out the math and I think I was making about 40% less than I could have. So I started to document these current events and I started to realize that, oh, these numbers don't really add up. Like the Bureau of Labor Statistics says we have whatever it is, 21,000 court reporters, and the Speech to Text Institute says we should have 23,000, and the National Court Reporters Association says we have 27,000. And it's like the more you looked into it, the more it didn't make sense. And so I started to publish about that. And people were interested because it totally went against the grain. It went against the professional community's paradigm of just kind of like, oh, let's just practice and do our best and be professionals. And it's like, no, guys, like there's a little bit of tomfoolery going on here, basically. And it excites people.
So going into that, after you decided to make, you know, how did you come up with the name? And then I guess just talking about the first couple of months of just trying to get content and also, you know, starting to finally be open, because I'm sure that people have approached you to just try to get more of a digital presence outside of just the written form, more so video and podcasts. What made you start to just think about giving this a chance?
The blogging.
Well, just more so, yeah, the development of the blog, and then also just your now at this point in time in 2024, your willingness now to just have other multimedia forms of disseminating the information.
Well, so I guess I'll start with how I named it, and how I named it's actually pretty funny. I was walking to the movie theater with a friend of mine, and I said, yeah, I really want to start writing and start documenting all these things that we have had problems with when we were younger and all these things that people come onto our message boards and ask about. I want to make something, and I want to make something interesting. And I want it to be like a real presence. And at the time, that hacker group Anonymous, or yeah, I think it was Anonymous, they were, you know, in the news and they were real popular. He's like, why don't you call it Stenonymous? And I'm like, oh, I went with it. I ran with it. And so after that, I just, like I said, I wrote out things that I had trouble with. One of my first articles was get a real job. And get a real job was actually all the jobs you could get in New York City as a stenographer. And at the time, it was workers' compensation and grand jury and the courts and something we call CART, which is basically captioning for the deaf and hard of hearing. I'm trying to think. I also mentioned teaching, and I gave links to all the places that you would get these applications and find information about this stuff. And because that was something that I had an issue with. So anyway, as time went on, like I said, I started to expand a little bit and I started to do a little advertising and all that kind of stuff. And what you realize pretty quickly is that images and videos and this kind of multimedia approach, it gets a lot more attention than just writing. And so for example, if I run an advertisement on an article, maybe I'll get, let's say I'll get 1,000 views on a written article. If I run an advertisement with a picture, I'll get like 10,000, 20,000 views. So you start to see that people don't all respond to sitting there reading a blog. Some people respond to hearing someone's voice, being able to understand, oh, this is someone I can trust rather than just this name on a screen, this faceless guy or this voiceless guy.
Interesting. Interesting. So how are you enjoying your first podcast experience?
Oh, I'm loving it. There's nobody
Good.
better than you.
Well, I done did this so many times, so I'm happy that you are united in this front because, this is something that I've grown in the past 6 months that I've been doing this, very passionate about. I truly enjoy it. It's something that I wake up and it's like part of my day. Something like I said that I want to do well in. And, I just think the things that I am involved in, it's such a niche. And I feel like if we could expose other people to something that can be just a viable solution to what they could be doing as an occupation, I think we will make the court industry a better place, especially
Oh
with somebody
yeah.
you under the helm giving that information. But
I tell everybody this could be your dream job, give it a shot, and for me, I'm always pushing the stenography. So I tell them go to National Court Reporters A to Z, go to Project Steno, go to Open Steno, opensteno.org. There's so many different ways to start learning about it and start getting into it that I always found it a shame that people have a hard time finding that information. I actually had a question for you, if that's okay. So I know for me, there's certain things I think about with this question, but for you, is there anything you think, wow, I wish I really knew this before I went in?
What I wish that I knew. I wish that I knew. Well, see, the thing is that so I do another thing that's very independent contract oriented, and you realize it's kind of the same situation where a lot of the information in the beginning is suppressed because you don't know anything, right? And the more, and it's not like you dig in the beginning. It's more like you kind of discover things and you go, wait a minute. If this deposition was $800, why am I only getting 75? Where's that other 700 going? So I'm not going to say that I didn't know about that because it's the same thing in my other line of work where it's like the people that run things are the ones that set the price. And sometimes the middleman gets a cut. This person gets this cut. This person gets this cut. It's just that now I've grown and I'm certain that we will talk about what that is at some point. But as you get better at the line of work that you're in, you start knowing more. You start wanting more. You start realizing that you should have equal representation at the table. So much so where you want to just kind of like be independent and you want to start your own thing. So the thing is, for me, I've always thought that any court reporting agency that I'm in as an independent contract has always been a learning situation where I think that I'm the talent. I know that one day this is still working towards me learning something in the future. So I don't know. Maybe I've always thought of it as a means to an end of just being an expert at this whole thing in its totality, right? And I think synonymous.com has given me also colored me with a lot of information. Maybe I wish I read your website before I hopped on to a court reporting agency. So I think if I had to answer the question, I wish I knew about your website because maybe I would revisit some options that I could have had as opposed to just, signing up because I didn't know anything. But at the same time, I am happy where I'm at. I wouldn't say I'm content with what I'm doing because I'm still in learning mode. The moment that I start feeling that I'm plateauing and I'm not learning and it's not working for me, I'll start thinking about different situation. And I know in the background, we are working on some different things. So I'm excited for that. But I know for me, I'm just like somebody that's really independent. I like standing on my own 2 feet. I like figuring it out on my own. And if that means trying to figure out another situation where I'm being able to control that, I feel like I'm going to shine much better in doing so in that regard. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the entrepreneurial mindset is something that you can't recreate it. You know what I'm saying? Like you
Right.
can't really teach it. It just kind of has to come to each person in their own time. And it sounds like coming into it, that's what you've got. So you have that ability. And I would say most people, many people who come into this, and probably most people have that ability, but not everybody goes in that direction. Not everybody wants to get that kind of mastery.
Right. Well, the only thing that I'll say in terms of the mindset that you need to have, whether it be a stenographer, somebody that's voice writing or digital, I think one thing definitely is always going to ring true. You have to be open to learning in public, right? So I know that there's the apprentice level in the background where you're learning and you're trying to get to a threshold of minute words per minute of you trying to type. But when it's being recorded at this moment in time, it's really hard in the beginning to be perfect, right? And still, you and I are still not perfect when we're doing it, but we strive to have that accuracy. But it's really hard, especially when you're learning, to be at there, right? So you're at 70% and you're striving to be 100%. But how
Yeah.
could I be 100% if I've never done this before? Of course I'm gonna. So at the very least, if you have the growth mindset of saying like there's more room for improvement and eventually you'll get there. And not being so hard on yourself and trying to be perfect the first time, I think you'll be very successful in this type of line of work. Even with the podcast thing, this is your first time. I'm not going to hold you to a standard that you're going to be nominated for a podcast award
Oh, thank
when you're
goodness.
starting out. But at the very least, like, okay, you like it. You feel comfortable in doing it. You feel okay with your voice. You know what your voice sounds like. You've also been on other multimedia platforms. So at the very least, it makes you want to improve. It makes you want to do it again. And that's all I can ask for. Now, if we're on a 100th episode, I would hope that at some point you're going to be like, you know what? I'm trying to get good at this. So I hope that answers the question.
I think so. I think so. And actually, I'm not sure what it was, but I was thinking while you were speaking, I actually made this Court Reporter Rates discussion group on Facebook. And that's kind of like when you take that entrepreneurial mindset and you start to apply it to things that aren't necessarily money making, but more ethical based, because there's a multi-pronged strategy to having created that group. First off, it's the consumers.
Right.
Through my website and my writing and my documentation, all that great stuff, I realized that there was kind of a game being played on consumers where the companies are bringing down the page rates, bringing down the page rates, but then they're nailing them with all these other little charges.
Right.
And so now all that stuff is out in the public. So consumers can just go, oh, I could get this, cheaper from, whoever, let's say me, or let's say you, or whoever it is. And then that person can make more, and this agency, doesn't need to be taking all my money for doing me the honor of printing, basically.
Yeah, listen, I think competition is always healthy. Competition always breeds creativity in terms of, the things that the way I think of things.
Yeah.
But
And
I don't
that,
want to make this podcast too long. The only final question I want to ask for you after doing this, I hope you had fun. But what are you looking forward to of this eventually evolving? You want to get some guests in the court reporting industry? Do you want to get some lawyers? Like, what are you looking forward to, and what's your goal for this podcast to grow?
all the above. I mean, I already know pretty much all the heavy hitting stenographers in the field, and I'm pretty sure that most of them will take the time to tell their story. But I would really love to get some lawyers on the thing and, get their true feelings. 'Cause, and I imagine that it's going to be, you're going to find people all across the spectrum. There's going to be lawyers who are all about hiring stenographers. There's going to be people who don't, they don't really care. They don't mind if a digital's at the deposition. There's going to be some that they don't even think about the transcript because it doesn't matter to them unless the thing is going to trial.
Right.
And so I really want to start bringing together all those voices. And in fact, it's been the front page of my website for the longest time is words and voices. And that phrase is basically because we want people's opinions. We want people's ideas. We want to have a more full understanding of the range of how people, interact with our services and, our field.
Yeah, I think that's important. I also think sometimes when I'm talking to a lawyer, they just, I feel like I don't know, I feel like I'm like the last person on the bench, and they're just like, yeah, I'm not really going to respect you. It's only because when my personality comes out, they're like, oh, I kind of like this guy. All right. And then they start treating me like a person, but I have to like infuse me in order for that to at least, at the very least, have that conversation. Normally, I'm just like an afterthought. And that's probably how you feel within, you know, the when you're in the role. But, you know, I'm looking to change that. I think that there should be representation. I mean, we are there, right? So
yeah,
why shouldn't we have a voice? I feel like that, you know, obviously when you're doing the job, I think you should be as professional as possible and be accurate, but you can still be you, right? I think there's nothing wrong with being who you are at all times. So that's my final saying for today. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I agree with you totally. Never give up your personality for any job. And that's for everybody listening.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to this journey, figuring out what the next episodes are. But I hope you enjoyed your experience on your first podcast.
Absolutely. Like I said, I got one of the best.
Okay, we are now off the record at 12:14 p.m. We are also filming this on, or recording this on, President's Day. I am, and I'm with Christopher Day from Stenonymous, and this is Words Per Minute. See you next time.